This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Final hour of power coming up. Let's take you around the DMV here on this Saturday afternoon. Take you up to 3 o'clock. Tapped into the youngest in Charles at L. Willingham. You can call us at 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. What we're chewing on right now is CBSSports.com and their list where they are claiming that Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in football post-NFL draft. They put out their post-NFL draft quarterback power rankings, and they're calling him the best quarterback in football. As long as the fader's up, you're good. I just feel like, yeah, I get how great he was last year. He was awesome. For my money, he could have been the league MVP. Just because you have one good season, it doesn't make you the best quarterback in football. I am as biased as anybody when it comes to the Washington Commanders. I'm a damn addict for the burgundy and gold. I'm wearing the patch right now. But I still got to be objective. I still have to maintain credibility when talking about this group. And anytime you talk about Jaden Daniels and you refer to him as the best quarterback in football, come on, brother. That's just not something to me that is very accurate at all. Now, look. If you want to have the argument and conversation about whether or not he's a top five quarterback, I'm here for it, right? There's an argument to be made that he is the fifth best quarterback in all of the land behind Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, Lamar, and Burrow. There's an argument to be made, right? And the category of guys that I think you need to be talking about him in is, well, is Jaden Daniels better than Matt Stafford at this point in time? I think you can make the argument, yeah, he is. Is Jaden Daniels better than Jalen Hurts at this point in time? Yeah, I think you make the argument that he is. A guy like a Jordan Love, hell yeah, I think he is. But to say he's the best quarterback in football, I'm just not so sure about that. Willie is in Durwood. What's chime in? What's going on, Willie?
Hey, what's happening? How are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. I was just listening as I was driving home from getting some calzones, and I understand what you're saying. No, he's not the best quarterback in the NFL. He's only been there for a year. But to find MVP is my point. Who was the most valuable player to their team given what they were before last season? And therefore, I think he should have been considered for MVP.
Oh, because I totally agree.
Then again, why is Mahomes down so low? Because he's done it over and over and over again. But one player making a difference from 4-13 to 12-5, that's an MVP based on the performance of one player compared to what they were before.
Correct.
So how is he not both the Rookie of the Year and the MVP based on that theory? I'd just like to hear your comments. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, hey, Willie, let me ask you this before you hang up, man, because you're out in Durwood. Did you hit up our good friends at Lito's?
I literally just picked up two calzones from Lito's.
Brother,
you got it.
You know, I'm a 2015 Magruder Colonel graduate, brother.
I'm a 1985 Magruder graduate, the first state championship team starting fullback.
Wow. Ain't that something?
I played for Roy Lester.
Yes, indeedy. Magruder Colonel Hall of Famer Roy Lester. That's all right, Willie. I enjoy you calling in, brother. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much. You do the same, and happy Mother's Day to your mother.
Yes, indeed, brother. 1-800-636-1067. Am I missing the boat here? I think you guys are, anybody who feels like Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in football after last year, I feel like you done bumped your damn head. Now, I understand, like I continue to go back to, I get the idea of, yeah, he's for sure a top five cat, right? If you want to make the argument that he's a top five quarterback, we can have that conversation all day long because I agree with you more times than not. I don't think the only quarterbacks right now off of his 1 year of play, and I get it, this is where it's risky, it's only 1 year of play, but the only quarterback that I'd put ahead of him right now is the Four Horsemen, man. Like I keep saying, Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Pat Mahomes. I don't think at this point I will put Stafford over him. I wouldn't put Jordan Love over him. I'm damn sure not putting Goff over him. I think he's earned the right to be in that top five conversation off of his 1 year because the 1 year was that special. Even then, though, there are going to be folks that go, well, sheesh, bruh. What was the conversation last summer around C.J. Stroud? What was the conversation last summer fresh off of C.J. Stroud's Rookie of the Year, his record-setting, record-breaking Rookie of the Year? Y'all weren't calling him the best quarterback in football. And for good reason, right? He had a major sophomore slump last year. Do I think Jaden Daniels falls victim to it? I don't think he does, but I wouldn't be stunned if he did. I have him at number five. Where do you? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. John is in Newburgh. What's chiming? What's going on, John? How you doing, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Linnell? Hey, what makes the list kind of bogus a little bit is there's no way Jalen Hurts should even be on there. just listen for a minute. Saquon Barkley gave him that trophy.
Yeah.
They could have had Geno Smith as their quarterback, and they still would have won the Super Bowl.
I agree.
Hurts, just like you're saying, the Four Horsemen. I don't think Jaden is up on that level yet. I mean, Burrow is such a pure passer. Allen, Mahomes, but like you said, maybe number five. But what raises my eyebrows is I can't believe they put Hurts on that list. You've got to be kidding me.
Dude, John, I agree with you, brother. I think I keep calling him this. I think he's the most insulated quarterback in football. You said Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. Name your middle.
They could have left Kenny Pickett in there, and they probably still would have went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, Saquon Barkley gave him. When the other team getting ready to play the Eagles, when they have to say, okay, well, if we can hold Barkley to two touchdowns and 150 yards, that's something, man. When have you ever seen that in the NFL?
It's
never.
Crazy. It's crazy, John.
And so now they're saying, okay, well, let's hold him to one touchdown and 100 yards. We show that's improvement. So it's Barkley, man. He gave him that trophy.
I 100% agree with you. I thought Saquon should have got MVP votes last year, but he did the humble thing and sat out at the end.
And then I'll tell you one thing. He did the right thing when he went in there to the Philadelphia Brass and said, hey, you redo my schedule right now. And then, if you notice, they gave him whatever he wanted.
Yeah, for sure. And look, John, he earned it, baby. He earned it.
Oh, yeah, he did.
For sure.
He did.
I appreciate your call as always, man. Enjoy the weekend, man.
I enjoy your show. And,
yes, sir. I appreciate it.
I remember when you told AWOD about Benjamin St. Juice and his surgery on his eyes.
John,
we were talking about the other day.
That's funny.
Well, you take care,
yes, sir. I appreciate you, man. 1-800-636-1067. Benjamin St. Juice. He's now LA's problem. You want to talk about the ball skills of Ray Charles? You want to talk about the ball skills of Stevie Wonder? Look no further than Benjamin St. Juice. Austin's in Raleigh. What's going on, Austin? You ready for the playoffs tonight, man?
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
I got some friends that are Canes fans, and I'm ready to rub it in their face, man. Let's get it.
Let's get it. What you think?
I think Caps win it in five.
Yeah?
I think they tear it off from here.
You think that they're going on a run? Look, the way that they how physical they played the other night, I wouldn't say you're crazy for that.
I think Tom sparked it in them. I think they all saw the effort that he was given, and they all just want to give it the same thing.
Yeah.
But
what'd you think about Jaden Daniels, though?
So the one thing that I despise about the NFL and analytics and people that are giving their take on it is whenever a rookie has a good first season, they think it's the next coming of Joe Montana. And so, I'm a Commanders fan. I'm all for it. I want Jaden Daniels to be that guy. But after 1 year, you got to have more sample size. Now, I agree with you. Top five, I think he's up there. But if you crown him the best, I mean, it's just you got to have more. You got to have more sample size in just 1 year.
Yeah, that's the big thing with me. Real quick before we let you go, something we're gonna ask on the other side of the break here. What's the number one thing you'd like to see him improve on from year one to year two?
I think I want to see him stay in the pocket more, and I think they built the offensive line to give him more ability to do that. I think he scrambled a little too much, and I think it was, to his own advantage because he's great at it, mm-hmm. but you want to see that other side of him being able to just sit comfortably in there and not feel the need to scramble and make those extra plays.
For sure, and I think you hit it right on the head. There's a reason why they decided to upgrade the bookend tackles mm-hmm. for him this year so we could see more of that pocket presence. Because, look, we all know it. He can throw it from the pocket, so there's no problem with him doing
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Austin, we appreciate you chiming in as always, man. Enjoy the game and enjoy the rest of your weekend, brother. 1-800-636-1067. CBSSports.com has Jaden Daniels ranked as the best quarterback in the National Football League post-draft. I'm calling poppycock. What say you at 1-800-636-1067? You can chime on whether or not you think he's the best quarterback. Plus, what does he need to improve on most as we get geared up for his sophomore season in the NFL? Your call's next here on The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
one 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. You tapped in with the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. I'll take you up to 3 o'clock before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. He'll get you geared up for Caps and Hurricanes. John Walton and Ken Sabrin begin their pregame coverage. We're getting at 5:45. Caps looking to take a commanding 2-1 series lead and steal one out in the Carolinas. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan and the Team 980 all afternoon long to hear our coverage of Caps hockey as well as Washington Nationals baseball. Real quick, before we get back into Jaden Daniels, Nats are in action this afternoon as well. It is a 4:05 first pitch. Pregame coverage just going to 3:35 with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler on our sister station, the Team 980. A lot more to get to here in the final 40 minutes or so here in the program. What we're talking about right now is this. CBSSports.com. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they woke up and swallowed a fifth. I don't know if they hit the dispensary before they put the list up. Post-draft quarterback rankings from CBSSports.com has Jaden Daniels as the best quarterback in all the National Football League. I love JD5 as much as the next man does, man. He is my hero. Love what he's done for Chocolate City, getting our fan base reinvigorated and geeked up again about football. I love everything the brother do. Well put together. I love his mom being around. I love all of it. But he ain't the best damn quarterback in football after one season. Argue with somebody you love, not me. I just can't do that. If we're going to talk about him as a top five guy, fine. I'm willing to have that conversation. But I'm not putting him ahead of Joe Burrow, Lamar, Josh Allen, or Pat Mahomes. There's a thing called sustained success. I think Jaden Daniels is well on his way to having sustained success, but he hasn't done it yet. He's ranked number one by CBSSports.com. Is it too high, or do you think it's just right? And part two to that question is this. What's the number one thing you want to see Jaden improve on from year one to year two? Chuck is out in Crawford and wants to chime in. What's going on, Chuck?
My brother Ned, how you feeling today, man?
Good, that's beautiful, man. How you doing? I'm doing good, brother.
I'm hanging there, man. I'm hanging good. So you mentioned being a homer. I'm definitely a straight homer. I mean, my first game was 1978 at RFK at age 4 years old. I know that's ancient to you. I understand that. The ticket was $12, and it was against the New York Giants.
Good okay? Lord. NFC East ticket still, for $12?
Hey, $12, as they say, that's $12. You know, I still have it. I'm definitely a homer. One of my sons' godfather is B. Mitch.
Uh-huh.
I just hung out with Doc up in Cambridge at a golf resort. So I'm definitely a homer. I'm burning
sure.
and gold.
For
like
sure.
all my yeah, yeah. So, but at the same time, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid, which is no slight to my man number five.
Mm-hmm.
But he is not the best quarterback in the NFL.
No,
you know, I don't want the fan base to get delusional as those guys down in Texas, you know, who thinks that they're going to win the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now because we got George Pickens, now we're going to the Super Bowl and all. No, no. But is he a top quarterback? Yes, he is. You could arguably say that he may be the best quarterback in the NFC East, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
And even though I'm an Alabama guy, I'm not a Jalen Hurts guy. So,
right. I got
I mean, yeah, yeah. But no, top five, top six, for sure. I don't see anything, nothing but brighter skies for him and his team.
Yeah.
He definitely has rallied the city, the fan base, and it feels good to love Washington football as a whole again. Now, what I want him to do more is definitely trust the pocket, you know, trust the reads.
Yeah.
It looked like he's gained a little bit more weight and stature, so and that's fine. But I don't want this to end up, and no disrespect, but I don't want this to end up like number 10.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I see nothing but brighter. He's not the best quarterback in the NFL.
And look, and look, Chuck, that's okay. It's okay that he's not the best.
It is okay.
It's fine. Like,
no. It is okay. But I definitely, you know, I'm with it, man. I mean, he's special. He has it. You know, his calm demeanor, everything about it now. I mean, it's there. But
he's exactly what this you know, what this city and organization needed. The one thing
yes,
that
sir.
I'll say, Chuck, and I appreciate you tapping in as always, brother. The one thing that I would say to answer the question, he led the National Football League in scrambles last year by a mile. By a mile. That's what's got to improve. I don't know how sustainable it is for him to be your leading rusher, right? Now, we know what Lamar Jackson does in Baltimore. And here's the thing. This is why I toss back and forth with this. Because if I was a Ravens fan, I probably, like, how would I feel about watching Lamar? Lamar don't get hit. Jaden doesn't get hit either, though. They both have an innate ability to avoid contact and avoid the big hit most of the time.
That was a skill that Jaden learned as the season went on because – remember at LSU, everyone would play the clips of him getting crushed by dudes in the SEC. And even in the first couple games, he was taking too many hits. And then he got the wind knocked out of him.
Against New York.
I swear on everything, he was a different football player after that moment. He completely changed the way he played. And I don't know if getting hit like that turned him into the absolute demon he is now, but that's what it seemed like.
No, I think you hit it right on the head, and it's an astute observation by you. Like, I remember it. Like, it was, man, me and Denton are sitting here doing the show, and we both have an audible gasp. Of, oh, no. Is he all right? And that game was crazy. Think about how quickly he endeared himself with the fan base. Think about how quickly Noah Brown endeared himself with the fan base. That was Noah's real live first game, like, coming out and actually being a contributor, and he won the game for us. So, super awesome to watch. 1-800-636-1067. CBSSports.com has Jaden Daniels ranked as the best quarterback in football post-NFL draft. Is he ranked too high? And then part two to that question is this. What do you want to see Jaden Daniels improve on most as we get geared up for a hopefully stellar sophomore campaign? Mark is in Landover Hills. Once chime in. What's going on, Mark? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, Linnell. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Haven't heard from you in a little while, Mark. I'm glad to hear from you, man.
I'm still listening. I've been busy talking to Doc and doing other things, and I still listen to you, but I'm listening and I'm wondering, and you got to remember this, Linnell, is the fact that those things that they put out, you can go back and check last year and see who they picked, just like this year, as far as the gentleman who plays for the Houston Texans, and see where they ranked him.
Yeah.
But it is all nothing but speculation and a preconceived notion, which really does us all a great disservice. Just like, and I don't want to be too critical of you, Linnell, because I know you're kind of thin-skinned and you've hung up on me before when I've tried to talk to you about this.
Go ahead.
Fact of what you're saying about Mr. McCaffrey. And you're doing a notorious football player a great disservice by saying that they have not really practiced or have been in training camp, that he will not make the team. Because I happen to disagree with you, and we shall see. And that would be another preconceived notion that you probably shouldn't have, because he is a young player, and he can certainly improve, and I think that he will improve. And obviously they draft him, and they think that he's good, and hey, they may be cut. But let me tell you, any of these guys that they got this year can be cut just as quickly as him, Mr. Lane and every one of them. And I can guarantee you one thing, that anybody who played for the Skins before Doc, B. Mitch, or any of them will tell you, hey, man, that's be the first thing that all the coaches will tell every one of them, because they want to be honest with them. And the gentleman that called you from Newburgh was correct, but he left something out there. And what he left out there was the synergy involved in a sport with 11 players on each side. You should know this, Linnell, by playing football in college. And you're also right about the insulation that Mr. Jalen Hurts has. And the position you played in, and you brought it up with the insulation, you better believe one thing, that their line was the best in the league.
Oh, yeah.
And old Saquon, former New York Giant, wouldn't have got half the games or half the yardage that he got if it wasn't for his linemen and the tight ends. So remember, synergy in this sport and your hands in the dirt are more important than what a bunch of procrastinators, and that's all I'll call them, are going to say about anybody, because sometimes you can hurt people's feelings and also motivate them to prove somebody wrong who has a preconceived notion about them. And hey, great show. Shout out to Ben, and keep it up, buddy. You straightened, you got the ship sailing good, buddy.
I appreciate you, Mark. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, more of your calls here on The Fan. One 800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Loaded afternoon ahead of you here on The Fan and on our sister station, the Team 980. Coming up at 3 o'clock, the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, will take over. He'll get you warmed up for Caps and Hurricanes game number 3 out in Raleigh. We'll see whether or not Tom Wilson has the boys buzzing once again here as they look to take a 2-1 series lead. John Walton and Ken Sabourin get you warmed up beginning at 5:45 with that. And then on our sister station, the Team 980 pregame coverage of Nats baseball gets rolling at 3:35, so make sure you keep it locked for that. So a pretty busy day around the Beltway Knicks and Celtics, game number 3, getting ready to tip off, coming up at 3:30. I said at the start of the show, I'll reiterate it here again. What the hell was the NBA thinking? What the hell was the NBA thinking? The best series, the most intriguing series right now in the postseason is this Knicks-Celtics series. And they've got the city of New York out and about in the early afternoon. They're missing the opportunities. Think about it. This should be in prime time. Are you kidding? Oh, but they got to have Anthony Edwards in prime time, right? Come on. Steph Curry's not even playing tonight. We got this game in prime time instead of Knicks and Celtics? Come on. I said it earlier in the show. I'll call my shot here again. The Celtics have played with an athletic arrogance throughout the first two games of this series based upon their shot selection, their defensive effort, the lack of timeouts being called to end runs by head coach Joe Mazzulla. It's been piss poor to watch. With their backs against the wall this afternoon, facing a 3-0 series deficit, they're favored in this game this afternoon. You look at the Vegas sports books out there. FanDuel's got him as the favorite. I like the Knicks, bro. I do. I think at home, think about this for the Knicks. The Knicks have not shot the ball well in this series at all, right? They were 9 of 21 from 3 and shot 43% from the field in game number 2. In game number 1, the numbers and the shooting splits were even worse, right? In game number 1, they shot 42% from the field. And then, but they did hit 17 threes. So they haven't shot the ball particularly well in this series. You put them at home, I think the tide turns a little bit. Right now, though, I want to keep the conversation on Jaden Daniels and the list from CBSSports.com. It's interesting. They got him ranked as the number one quarterback in football post-draft. I don't think that should be the case at all. I look at him as more of a top five guy if we're going to have that conversation. Really would struggle after 1 year to put him ahead of Burrow, Lamar, Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen. Just can't do that. Do you think he's ranked accurately or do you think it's too high? 1-800-636-1067. Also, what does he need to improve on heading into year number 2? Michelle is out in Calverton. Wants to chime in. What's going on, Michelle? How are you?
Hi, Linnell. I'm Michelle from Section 124.
Oh,
I never called you one other
yes,
time.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. How are you? How are you?
You're right.
You had a hell of a season last year, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Me and my son, you about went crazy.
That's
especially
awesome.
The miracle in Landover.
Yes, ma'am.
The reason I would put him first is based on skill set.
Okay.
When I've analyzed Jaden Daniels, he's as fast as Lamar, but he's more accurate, much more accurate.
I agree.
I think Patrick Mahomes, good, but Jaden's more elusive and, again, more accurate. He's, I believe, the smartest quarterback in the NFL.
Wow.
And the reason I say that is because of his quick decision-making. Mm-hmm. He's just so bright. I know he used virtual reality, but you have to be very smart and very fast-moving to use that successfully or everybody would use.
Michelle, I think you actually may have painted the best picture as to why he should be ranked first. If that's going to be your argument, it's off of the skill set. Because, look, I jokingly last year, Michelle, called him Patrick Jackson or Lamar Mahomes. Because I really do think he is like a merge of those two cats. To your point, though, I think he's more accurate than Patrick. We know he's more accurate than Lamar. I think the area that Lamar edges him out in, and I think we would all agree, he's a little bit more elusive, but with a full season and an NFL weight training program, getting a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, maybe he looks like a better runner than Lamar this year.
Yeah, and the both of them have the same speed.
Right.
So, you know, flat out, they're as fast as each other. And we saw it later in the season when people stopped worrying about him getting hit. This kid, I'm just saying, based on skill set, and mental skills, physical talents, athleticism, all of it. I can't rate Burrow ahead of him. Now,
if there's one guy in the top four, Michelle, that I think he can creep up on, it would be Burrow, because Burrow doesn't have the mobility, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And he, you know, given him an offensive line, there's not going to be a sophomore slump. I don't think to compare him to C.J. Stroud
yeah.
is really accurate because the skill sets are different. And C.J. Stroud was never a mobile,
right.
super mobile quarterback. You know, without that offensive line, even the first year, he would have struggled. Yeah. Now, of course, Jaden will have Laremy Tunsil, his offensive person, but I don't think, like, barring injury, and you know, I think he's way too wise to get injured.
Yeah,
he's starting to really, unless somebody catches him on blindside or something, he's going to get out of it.
Yeah. We will see. We will see how it ultimately goes. I'm excited for you, though, getting another chance to go see the boys up close in person. One of these days, one of these seasons, because I'm always in here on game days, as you know, I got to get out to the stadium. That's the one thing about the job that it kind of gets me a little bit. But I've been to one Redskins game in my life. It was when Dwayne Haskins, God rest his soul, took the selfie against Detroit. It was a great environment then, and we weren't even good. So I can only imagine what it's like now. Michelle, I appreciate you as always.
Sure.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your
show. Yes, ma'am. 1-800-636-1067. Rod is in D.C. What's chiming? What's going on, Rod?
What's up, Lanell? I shot you a couple of tweets earlier, too.
I saw you.
Yeah. Real quick with McCaffrey, man. Give him time to develop, Lanell.
Rod, we said this all last. I get it. He still
need a little more time. It clicks, and he has to catch on with it. And once he catch on, he's going to be dynamic, man. He's still filling that position out. Give him a little more time. Be a little bit more patient.
As
far as Jaden Daniels, he is him, okay?
Yeah, I agree.
He is him. Look what that man worked with to get them guys to the NFC Championship game, Lanell. Look at the roster the guy played with on offense. Come on, man. This man willed them, and they followed him. He made everybody better. That's what makes the MVP in my mind. When you make your whole team better and bring them to another level. One guy did that, and that's what makes him my MVP and the best quarterback in the league for what he worked with and the talent he had. Look at the roster. Look at the offense with them big four horsemen and tell me who had the worst talent level and ended up in the championship game. And also, the players in that championship game, they the ones threw up over there, Phil.
Jaden
was trying to carry them in. Because after two fumbles, they fumbled, three times? After two fumbles, we were still in the game, heading down to cut it to 3 or 4, and then another fumble came apart.
Rod, it was the Austin Eckler fumble was the one that changed the game.
We were still in the game. So this guy here just brings everybody up to another level. That's, to me, the meaning of an MVP. When you can bring a regular average guy's and had him play up to a Pacific level. My man, Lanell,
appreciate you as always, Rod. Enjoy the rest of the weekend, brother. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, going to join us. He's live out in Ashburn at the conclusion of rookie minicamp. He joins us next. One final segment before we hand things over to the DOC, Rick Doc Walker. He'll get you geared up for Caps and Hurricanes game number 3. John Walton and Ken Sabourin begin their pregame coverage at 5:45. If you're on our sister station, the Team 980, Nats Baseball coming your way momentarily. Pregame coverage going to get rolling at 3:35. So you get part of the DOC, and then you'll have your dial switched over to Nats Baseball. Right now, though, before we get out of here, I wanted to go to the Rude Guest Hotline where we find our pal David Harrison, the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He is out there in Ashburn at the conclusion of rookie minicamp. David, I appreciate you making some time for us, my friend.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the invite, man.
So, obviously, not a lot that you can take away from rookie minicamp. That's what some folks think. I still think there are some little nuanced things that you could pay attention to. What stood out, if anything, to you about today's session?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's all eye of the beholder, right? Like, some people just want to get a first glimpse at the rookie. Sometimes there's a specific UDFA or tryout player that everybody wants to have their eyes on, and obviously there was that case this year. But for me, really, I just kind of come out with, like, kind of a broad brush, right? Like, we've been to enough NFL practices today or these days where it's like, who looks like an NFL player and who kind of looks like they're out of place, right? And I think for the most part, nobody looked out of place, but some guys just look a little bit more comfortable than others. And, you know, that's not to say that they're going to have all pro careers or the other guys are not going to have all pro careers. I mean, I remember, you know, there was a specific rookie. I'm not going to out him or anything like that, but during his rookie mini camp, you know, you can kind of tell maybe he had taken it off a little bit during the lead up to the camp and celebrated a little too hard making it to the NFL and was certainly kind of feeling it a little bit during his rookie minicamp practice. But then by the time training camp comes, you know, he was in much better conditioning, much better shape, and you can kind of tell, like, lessons have been learned on that rookie minicamp field. And that's really what it's all about. DQ kind of talked about it, right? It's not about not making mistakes or being perfect. It's about how you recover from those mistakes. And out here, how do you take to coaching as a first-year NFL player? Because, you know, I tell you, you know, I can't speak for every coach, but one of the first ways to work your way out of a room as a rookie is probably start arguing, you know, with the likes of guys like Ken Norton Jr. and so on.
For sure. It doesn't seem like a good rule of thumb to help you make the ball club. I know you spent a good portion of practice paying attention to the offense today, and for good reason. Yeah. I told you when the draft concluded, the two most intriguing guys they selected to me was Jalen Lane, the receiver out of Tech, and then Kane Medrano, the linebacker out of UCLA. Did Jalen Lane and those ridiculous combine measurables, did that show up today in rookie minicamp practice number one?
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about guys looking like NFL players, I think Jalen looked really comfortable on the practice field. And, you know, there wasn't, like, a lot of competitive periods. Obviously, there's no pads, there's no hitting and stuff like that. So it's hard to see the full, you know, repertoire that he might be able to bring to the NFL and to the team. But you still get to see him kind of roll out there, hit his marks, hit his landmarks, make his cuts, bring in the ball, turn up field, and just get to see how comfortable he is in his own skin, around the teammates, around the coaches. And he looked like, again, he looked like a guy who really belonged. And getting to talk to him a little bit after practice and just hearing him talk about the excitement of having the opportunity, but also understanding that this is his opportunity to take a hold of and something that's not, he's not going to take for granted. It just gives you a good feeling that when you hear Adam Peters, Lance Newmark, Dan Quinn talk about, you know, we're going looking out for the right players, not just, you know, the most athletic, you know, even though obviously athleticism is something they target, it still has to be there in the dome, you know, in the brain. So that'd be the character and all that stuff. You get that feeling from a guy like Jalen that this is a dude that you could see. If you have to cut and paste him into the 2024 locker room, you feel like he would fit in.
For sure. And I think that's kind of what you heard about him coming out as well, which is kind of crazy, man. Like, to get a guy with those type of measurables, talking about the athletic traits, and then the type of person he is, to have that available to you on day three of the draft, you sprint up to the podium when your pick is in, and we saw Washington do just that. Josh Connerly Jr., though, the other big-time pick of the offense, the first-round pick. David, I don't know if you noticed this. I didn't get to go to rookie minicamp last year because I was on air. But when I showed up to the mandatory minicamp and I first got to see Brandon Coleman out there, the first thing that popped with me was the footwork and the hand speed. What stood out with Josh Connerly here today, and did that athleticism pop for him?
Yes, that's something that we came in looking for. You know, again, there's no pad, so it's like, what can you really see? You can't really see a left tackle or an offensive lineman just in general really set that anchor and really kind of take on a bull rush. Right? There's some pad work and certainly kind of simulate some of those things, but you can see that athleticism. They did some pulling drills. They did some off-the-ball drills. And, yeah, when you look at Josh Connerly up front, like, you see him on tape, and those are great. But getting to see him kind of standing, you know, 10 feet away from you at the snap of the ball, pulling and hitting a lane and hitting a gap and doing it with conviction, like, that certainly shows up. And you can see that athleticism show up. And then, again, you kind of try to transpose that as best you can to the, you know, the offensive line movement you saw the year before. And does it fit in, or does it have the possibility to even upgrade at a specific position? And I think when you look at Josh Connerly move today in comparison with the guys he was moving with on the practice field for this tryout in this rookie minicamp, but also when you kind of think back to how the other linemen move that you've got experience watching, he absolutely showed that today. And, you know, a big question is going to be, can he stand up to that NFL strength and that NFL bull rush and all those things? We'll get a glimpse of that in training camp. But for what we could get a glimpse at today, yeah, man, that athleticism shows up in a big way.
Does he physically look the part? I know there are some guys, David, that don't always come in looking like an NFL offensive lineman. I think the play strength for him is a big talking point. Does he look like a big cat out there?
I mean, he doesn't look like a big lineman, right? Like, he doesn't look like just a massive individual. Like, I look at, like, Cornelius Lucas, and I'm like, okay, that's a big offensive lineman. But Josh Connerly Jr. looks like an offensive lineman. You know what I mean? Like, if you walk into the room, and he's standing in the middle of the locker room, and you've got it divided by position groups, and he's confused where to go, you're going to tell him, well, your locker's going to be over there with the O-lineman. Now, we know this crew doesn't separate by position groups, but I think you pick up the analogy. So, he looks like an O-lineman. He just doesn't look like a massive O-lineman, if that makes sense. So he certainly looks like an athletic, a little bit more compact type of offensive lineman. So that's why, you know, the questions of his play strength are going to come in. And, you know, we'll have to see when these guys get the opportunity to test them. You know, his teammates are going to give him the best look they can in training camp. That first day of pads, I mean, you already know.
Yep, I can't
wait. Everybody gets excited for a reason. You know what I mean? So that's when it's going to be there. And, you know, fortunately for Josh, like, he's no stranger to social media grabbing hold of one clip and running with it. But hopefully, you know, the one clip that everybody runs with this year will be, you know, positive for him. But you know, he looks the part when you stand him next to him. I remember, you know, when he came in for his introductory press conference after he was drafted with WSA9, we got to do an exclusive interview with him. So after everybody was done, got to hang out, you know, talk with him for a few minutes, stand next to him, you know, shake his hand and up close in person. Yeah, you're not going to confuse him. You're like, you meet him right at the local Wawa, you're going to know this dude's a baller.
And that is the spot post practice for folks that are not hip. David, I will let you go on this, my friend. Bill, Ja'Cory Crosby-Morett.
Yeah.
How did he look in the first day of rookie minicamp? And do you think he's got the chops to challenge Brian Robinson here early?
Ooh, challenge Brian Robinson. I'm gonna pause on that one. Bring that up to me. Yeah, later on. But you already know, like, this is a guy that I've actually kind of had to hold back on my hype for, right? And I talked to him a little bit, you know, not really off the record, but just not officially in an interview setting. And I actually told him, I said, look, dude, like, I love your tape. The fact that he lost 11 games in his final college season and then went to the Shrine Bowl and just balled the heck out, like, that shows that maturity, that work ethic, that determination to be a pro. Like, I think that can't be understated, you know, and watching him work with Anthony Lynn. Actually, a really good thing is, you know, he runs a drill, and Anthony Lynn saying, hey, well, I want you to do it like this. Ja'Cory goes through, does the drill, and Coach Lynn makes a correction on the spot, says, hey, da-da-da-da, coaches him up. Ball player says, okay, roger that. Goes back, does the drill, does it the right way the next time, right? And again, it's not about being perfect every time. It's about taking the coaching, turning the words into execution. So to see him do that in real time, you know, about 10 feet in front of my face, that's the encouragement that you want. And then again, talking to him, man, he's all about competition. So, like, I tell you, he's going to come in. Like, he wants to come in and learn from Brian Robinson. He wants to learn from Austin Ekeler. But make no mistake about it, he also wants to compete with them. And his plan is to come out here, and this is me putting not words into his mouth, but putting words on him. This is not him saying this. Mm-hmm. This is me saying this just from his competitive spirit. Like, he's going to come on this practice field saying, I'm the best back on this practice field, and now I'm about to show you why.
Yeah. I'm happy to see it. It's going to be competition everywhere all the time for the 2025 Washington Commanders. David, I appreciate you giving us some time. My friend, enjoy Mother's Day weekend. I'm sure you have something planned with your significant other. I hope you all are able to enjoy
it. Yeah, better. Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That's David Harrison of WSA 9, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. Make sure you give him a follow on the X app at DHarrison82. That's going to do it, though, here for this Saturday afternoon, riding around the DMV with the youngest in charge. Appreciate all of you calling on the phones. Thank you to our guy, young Ben Strober, for answering your calls. The DOC, Rick Doc Walker, comes your way next.